Court. Okay, all that stuff didn't happen. Okay, Rashi Shita. Secretly recording. Trill and Shoyad. Trill and Shorosh. I like it. Trill and Shoyad. Trill and Shorosh. Trill and Shoyad. Trill and Shorosh. Only one bracha. Only one bracha. Trill and Shoyad. Trill and Shorosh. No matter what, you make one bracha. Normally you make one bracha on tefillah and shoyad. If you talk between them and the bracha on tefillah and shoyad gets ruined, you have to repeat the bracha on tefillah and shorosh. The bracha changes a little bit, but there's one bracha. Why is there one bracha? Either because it's one mitzvah, as we saw, sheet of the Urayim, Rashi, Gomer is a mitzvah, or it's two mitzvahs, one bracha, on the Vilna Gaon, because it's a similar action. One mitzvah, or two mitzvahs and one bracha, but more or less, Rashi sheet is pretty straightforward. Actually, I got to set the time because people waiting for me on the other campus. I need to walk out of here at 11:45, excuse me. Just don't want to keep them waiting. Okay. 11:45. Okay. So we have one mitzvah or two mitzvahs or one bracha. But today, we're going to discuss the shita of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, look at the board under normal circumstances. A bracha for tefillah and shoyad and a bracha for tefillah and shorosh. Why do you have two brachas? Okay, this is not so bad, because maybe there are two mitzvahs, right? Most Rishonim say it's two mitzvahs, so each mitzvah has its own bracha. This isn't such a big problem. But this is a really big problem. When you talk, if you're sach binayim, then what do? Then you made a bracha on the tefillah and shoyad. And then, here's the big question of the day, you make two brachas on the tefillah and shorosh. Sach, eno sach mevarach achas, one bracha on tefillah and shorosh, one bracha on tefillah and shoyad. That's how he reads the Gemara. Sach mevarach shtayim on tefillah and shorosh. That's how he reads the Gemara. Eino sach mevarach achas on tefillah and shorosh. You have two brachas, two mitzvahs. That makes sense. But sach, if you talk, then you would have already made one bracha on tefillah and shoyad, laniach. And then you make two brachas on tefillah and shorosh. The only thing harder to explain than one bracha on two mitzvahs is two brachas on one mitzvah. Monday was the kiddie pool, guys. One bracha and two mitzvahs. Okay, either Rashi only has one mitzvah, or it's two mitzvahs with one bracha. Today we got the opposite problem. Not one bracha for two mitzvahs. Okay, you can hear that. But two brachas for one mitzvah. This I can digest. Two mitzvahs, two brachas. Normal case. So why does talking change it? Because obviously, look at the board, you're always making two brachas on tefillah and shorosh. It's just, if you don't talk, then this bracha goes also on tefillah and shorosh. If you talk, then you've disconnected this bracha, and you got to make two brachas on tefillah and shorosh. So you're always making two brachas on tefillah and shorosh. And it's highlighted when you talk, but even when you don't talk, you're making two brachas on tefillah and shorosh. So today we got a problem. We've got one mitzvah, two brachas. We got to find that phantom bracha. See the difference? Monday was two brachas, one mitzvah, two mitzvahs, one bracha. Today is one mitzvah, two brachas. How do you compute that? So what are our choices, my budding talmidei chachamim? How are you going to solve? How are you going to find a reason for that phantom bracha? Two brachas, one mitzvah. Tefillin shorosh, one mitzvah, two brachas. And even normal case, tefillin shorosh is three brachas. We can carry the laniach from the shoyad over to the shorosh. How do you account for that extra bracha? So something has to change. One mitzvah, two brachas. How could there be one mitzvah? Say it five times. One mitzvah, two brachas. One mitzvah, two brachas. Kansas, I want you to come to Kansas. Say it. One bracha, two mitzvahs. One mitzvah, two brachas. One mitzvah, two brachas. Either
two mitzvahs.
Or
two brachas.
Two brachas, even though it's one mitzvah. Those are the two ways the Rav explained the Rabbeinu Tam. We're going to see each approach. And we'll see that Tosfos in Brachos actually was unsure which way to be Rabbeinu Tam. And now that you know what the Rav said, oh, that's what Tosfos meant. When you learn Lamdos and you go back and read Rishonim, well, that's what he was asking. But Rishonim, you know what I call Rishonim? I call them finger snappers. They came into the room, they said one line, everyone in the room knew that they were referring to two pages in a clay. All they had to do was snap their fingers. You know what I call Tanakh? Finger waver. They had snapped their fingers and held up two fingers, and everyone, oh, that's the question you're talking about, Rabbi. Because they just knew Shas so well. They just knew Shas. I know someone who knew Shas that well. I saw Rav Aaron. There's no Shas like Ratana. So let's start. The first approach of the Rav, I'm going to erase this there. Thanks for the eraser. The first shot of the Rav, I'm going to erase Rashi. Okay, back to the better eraser. But the first shot of the Rav is, oh my goodness, like a workout here. Okay, the first shot of the Rav is, okay, two shots. First shot of the Rav is one mitzvah, two brachos. Why would you make two brachos on one mitzvah? Well, normally, when do you make a bracha on a mitzvah?
Before.
But sometimes we make a bracha after something. What are the two classic examples in halacha where we make a bracha after? Obvious, this week's parsha. Birchas. No, both before and after. Birchas and mazel. That's not really a mitzvah. What's the lashon ha-pasuk? Nope. I'd say it again, Shimon. Nope. Who can tell me the lashon ha-pasuk? If you really mock me, you know you can tell a Talmud Chacham, listen to their bench. The achalta. The savata uverechta. The end means when you put it milra is forward. So Hashem is saying you will eat and you will bench, but you will be satisfied in the past, because after you're satisfied, you bench. So you have to read it. Listen carefully to the Kriya. So some people are makbid in Berachas HaMazal, like I am, to say it the right way. Most of the tas in Devarim are forward. But the savata, Hashem saying, you will have been satisfied, then after being satisfied in the past, then bench. So you listen to a Talmud Chacham, they're going to bench the achalta, the savata, uverachta, as Hashem, ulakecha, alaretz atava. Okay, that's when you make a bracha after. When else do you make a bracha after? Where? No, but that's only after. When do you make a bracha after having already made a bracha before? Mishnah Zidane, you wait for the bracha till after. But when do you say, I've already made a bracha after? Close? Kriyasatara. You make a bracha rishona and a bracha achrona. Shebachar vada b'kol amim, asher nasa lot of tarazavas. But it's very, very odd to have a post-bracha when it's a mitzvah. Benching is post-eating. Kriyasatara is post the ceremony. We never really have a bracha after a mitzvah. We actually do. There's one case in halacha. Who knows? Megillah. What's the bracha called? Asher Haini. Asher Haini. It's a bracha for Asher Haini. Do you thank Hashem for Asher Haini? Okay, really long bracha. But maybe tefillin is an exception. Maybe the reason we make two brachas on tefillin shel rosh is because tefillin shel rosh is the end. So you make a bracha when you start the mitzvah slash process, even if they're separate mitzvahs, is one process, like we said yesterday, in the name of the Baal Hamor. It's one process, even though two mitzvahs. So you make a bracha at the start, you make a bracha at the end, and if you talk in between, then you're starting and ending at the same time, so you make two brachas. The two brachas of Shel Rosh, it's not really two brachas. It's a bracha in the beginning, it's a bracha in the end. Normally, the beginning is Shel Yad, you make L'Haniach. Shel Rosh is the end, you make Al Mitzvahs. And you don't really care that L'Haniach, I'm erasing this. Shel Rosh really has one bracha under normal circumstances. But if you talked in between, then you created a big, big chatzitza between the two. And therefore, on Tefillin Shel Rosh, you have to say two brachos, the start bracha and the end bracha. That's how the Rav explained. That's how the Beis Yosef explains. I give you the Beis Yosef on the sheets. Now, the Beis Yosef says it's Mefurash, the Rav says it's Mefurash, that the Al Mitzvah, so the Shel Rosh, is a bracha at the end of Tefillin, which Gemara makes it sound like they used to make a bracha after Tefillin, even in normal cases. Marin brachas. In Eretz Yisrael, during the days of Chazal, they had a very strange minute, which we're going to look at next week, when they took off their Tefillin, they made a bracha. Anyone know the name of the bracha, what they said? Lishmar Chukav. Which pasuk does that come from? One of the four parshios in Tefillin. Veshamarta Esachukazos Namodom Miyamim Yamima. When you see that, teaches us that you should put on Tefillin at night, or maybe don't put on Tefillin on Shabbos. We'll see. Really important. Why they took that lashon? It's the only bracha. It's the only mitzvah. We'll talk about this a lot next week. The only mitzvah you make a bracha at the end of the mitzvah. We'll see why. So the Rabbeinu Tam may have been saying, you don't just make a bracha. That minhag, one second, Ben. That minhag fell into disuse. No one for hundreds of years ever has made that bracha since the days of Chazal. But the Rabbeinu Tam is saying, we don't make a bracha after we take off the tefillin. We'll make a bracha after we complete the execution of the mitzvah. Not after we take off the tefillin, but we make a bracha at the end of the mitzvah. And here you talked, so you got to make both the start bracha and the end bracha.
So you didn't talk in the Hanyach apply.
No, not according to this pshat. If you didn't talk, the Hanyach is on the start, the mitzvah is on the end, and you don't transfer the Hanyach.
So it's saying that it's one mitzvah that's supposed to go on the beginning of everything.
Correct. One mitzvah or shim and one process. Maybe not one mitzvah, but one process. Yes, Gabby.
How come our mitzvah comes before and after our mitzvah?
Because you're about to do the end. Good question, but according to one, you're about to always make a bracha when you do an action. You make a bracha when you're not doing anything. Right. What's the mitzvah of sukkah? Sitting or being? Just being. Why do you make a bracha when you sit? Because brachas always have to be tethered to an action. You just make a bracha in the other.
Why don't you do it over the sukkah, like say,
some people are not over the sukkah, but some people are not because you've already started the mitzvah. Okay, yeah. That's one shot. One second, one shot of the Rav. Shot number A. How is it one mitzvah, two brachos? One at the start, one at the end. What's the start bracha? What's the end bracha? All mitzvahs. When do we normally start? Tefillin Shel Yad. When do we end? Tefillin Shel Rosh. If you talked, then you have to make both the start and the end of the Shel Rosh because you're starting again, but you're also ending. So you make two brachas. That's the first shot of the Rav. Second shot of the Rav. One second, game. Second shot of the Rav. We'll see if we'll get to the Nafkaminas. The Rav said no. The second bracha on Shel Rosh is not a bracha on the end of the mitzvah. And Shimon, really, Shel Rosh itself needs two brachas. Because Shel Rosh has a part of the mitzvah of tefillin that's highlighted in Shel Rosh that's less highlighted in Shel Yad. This is something the Rav Zatzal did across the board in all of Shas. You know what the Rav's big chiddush was? Very interesting. The Briskers, what I mean the Briskers, Reb Chaim, his son Revelvel, they opened up a whole new area of learning. Which Masechtos that they start learning that hadn't been learned, especially for hundreds of years, Kutchin. They love learning Kutchin. Revelvel, most of Revelvel's writings in Shir Mor Kutchin. You go to Brisk today, they'll learn Kutchin. You say, what do you want to learn? You got to learn Kutchin. In part because Kutchin is very organized, so it's very structured. Kutchin Kalim, Kutchin Kutchin, levels, places, it's very organized. And in part because there's no Rishon. So if you're learning Baba Basra, you have to read the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ritva. In Kutchin, it's virgin territory. You're taking a shovel and cutting up new ground. No one has talked about Kutchin. Very few Rishonim. And if you have the skills, and Briskus have the skills, you can learn any blatant shas. And that's why I started to learn Kutchin. A little bit of Tyrus, not so much Tyrus, but a lot. But you know what still wasn't learned so much? Moed. It's a light Masechta. Sukkah, Megillah, Yoma, Kiddush, Haftalah, Lula. The Rav's big chiddush, he took all that Brisker lumdus and he started to learn Moed. And he learned Sukkah that way. And he learned Megillah that way. And he learned Rosh Hashanah that way. And he learned Yoma that way. That's why so many of the Rav's Torah and Brachos. When I say Moed, I mean Brachos also. And one of the fundamental mahalchim of the Rav in all these areas was when we're doing these mitzvahs like Sukkah, and like Shofar, and like Lulav, and like Tefillin, and like Bris Milah, there are two parts to the mitzvah. How do you say two parts in Yiddish? Two legs. No, two layers. Tzvei means two. There's the physical action, and then there's an internal experiential kiyum shebelev. So, for example, look at me. What am I doing? Lulav. What's the Maisa mitzvah of lulav? Lakicha. But there's also an internal kiyum. What's the internal kiyum of lulav? Anyone know? When do we take lulav? What are we trying to do through our lulav? Az yiraninu atzei hayar. What are we trying to do with the lulav? Not just shake, but also? What's the internal kiyum shebelev? Halel, sheva. Very good, so we take it during halel. Shofar! What's the Maisa mitzvah of a shofar? Blowing. But what's the kiyum shebelev? Shofar is a din in? And tefillah. How do you know shofar is a din in tefillah, the Rav said? Anyone know? What? During tefillah, the shape of the shofar, the Gemara says, represents the shape of your body during davening. Should be kafa, pasha, spiral, straight. Shema, what's the ma'aseh mitzvah of Shema? Kriyas Pesukim, what's the kiyum shebaleiv of Shema? Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim. Megillah, what's the ma'aseh mitzvah of Megillah? Kriyas Megillah, what's the kiyum shebaleiv? Pesumei Nisa. Bris, what's the ma'aseh mitzvah of Bris? Chaticha Sa'arla, what's the kiyum? Bris. Nisa Barisa. And you know what the classic Shimon example was? That there's a mitzvah that has a mechanical action and an experience to it?
So,
what is, guys, what is the kiyum? What is the ma'aseh mitzvah of tefillin? No, what is the, not the bracha. Let's first talk about kshira, tying it. But what's the kiyum? What's the kiyum? Don't tell me the bracha. What's the kiyum? Did I lose my notes? What's the kiyum? Being in a spiritually elevated state of mind. Having more kedusha on your body and in your mind. I'm going to talk a lot about this next week. That's why if anyone has terrible diarrhea in the next couple of days, before we learn it, don't put on tefillin, because your body has to be clean. You can take lulav. You can read the Megillah. You can sit in the sukkah, but you can't put on tefillin unless you have a guf naki. Because you are creating a kedusha on your body, which is, remember I said this the first day, you're wrapping yourself in a sefer Torah, that's part of the halacha, and not just on your body, I'm saying Shem, but also on your mind. Which is why the Rambam writes, anyone see the Rambam yet? Did you get a chance to see the Rambam?
Yeah.
Okay, the Rambam writes, really important Rambam, halacha chafei, I'll summarize it if you don't have the Rambam, but take out your sheets, this is probably the most important Rambam about tefillin. Kedushas tefillin, kedushas and gedola. Shakol's man shat tefillin, barosha shaladim ve'el zero. Let's go carefully. What should you try to be? Number one, anav, try to be humble. It's a good chance to think about humility when you have tefillin on. Yirei shamayim, think about yirei shamayim. Eino nimshach b'schok, try to avoid cynicism. Sicha b'teila, meaningless talk. Certainly, eino mahara machshavas rose. Don't let your mind wander to machshavas rose. Mifano libo bedasa emes v'atzedek. Try to think about religion or meaning or life or Hashem. And here's the saddest Rambam in the world. Because it's ironic, because it's completely, completely opposite of what the Rambam intended. The Rambam says, therefore, since tefillin demands such an uplifted state mentally, emotionally, and physically, how long should you wear tefillin? And because tefillin demands such an uplifted state physically and emotionally, how long do we wear tefillin? The reason we shrink tefillin down to 45 minutes is because we're not capable of this, even during the 45 minutes we wear it. So that's why the minhag was, don't wear tefillin all day, because you won't be able to keep guf naki and machshava naki and machshava. So the Rambam lived 800 years ago, and in his day, yeah, I want to have a machshava tahara. I want to think about religion all day. Keep tefillin on the whole day. You know how much the average professional learned on a daily basis in the days of the Rambam? The Rambam says in Ilchas Tamatar, how many hours did the average professional learn? 9 hours. Ilchas Tamatar. I don't learn 9 hours a day. I'm so busy. The average worker, because you didn't have internet, and you didn't have travel, and you didn't have, you had a cow and a chicken and a couple eggs and a cart in the room, and you went out, took a potato, cooked it up, ate it, and life was pretty dull. You didn't go anywhere, you didn't do anything. You know, people, they lived where they lived, and they just survived, and they got by, and the rest of the day they sat and learned. We have a really tough year. We have a really tough world. We have a lot of things calling our attention, but that's our world. And our minds are racing. And how many of you, present company included, can really keep their mind focused on the kedusha of tefillin in 45 minutes? So tefillin has two parts to it. Number one, the ma'aseh hanacha. Number two, the kedusha sa'adam that tefillin installs. You're like a kohen wearing tefillin. We'll talk about the tzitz. It's a kohen wore something with the name of Hashem. You wear something with the name of Hashem. You're tefillin. Now, which of the two highlights the mechanical and which of the two highlights just the experience, the spiritual state? Okay, we could stop the shiur here. We're not going to stop the shiur here. Two mitzvahs, two levels, two brachos. And maybe you should start by saying two brachos. Where else? Which other mitzvah has two brachos in the get-go? Which other mitzvahs did I mention?
Chanukah.
Because it was, what's the mice of Chanukah? Hadlaka. What's the kiyum? So you have two brachas from the get-go. Lulav has really one bracha because you already say halal when you say halal. But if we didn't say halal, then you'd say likos halal when you put on tefillin, when you take a lulav. Okay, tell us something else, but yes. What other mitzvah? You performed the mitzvah, just weren't aware of it. That's two brachas.
Bris.
At your bris, they made two brachas. Asher kidashanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu ala mila. Chop, chop, chop. And then Asher kidashanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu lachniso b'briso shel Avraham avinu. One is the Maisa Chatichas Arla, and one is the Bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we should just do that. Two levels to tefillin. One, the action. One, the state. So wake up in the morning. No one says Tishita. No one says Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvosa V'tzivanu Laniach Tefillin. Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvosa V'tzivanu Al Mitzvah Tefillin. That's what we should do, like Bris, like Hanukkah. Two brachas, two levels to Kiyumin. So the second layer of the Rav is that one of the mitzvahs highlights the mechanics, and one of the mitzvahs highlights the state of the person. Well, take a guess. Which mitzvah is more mechanical, or which mitzvah is more the state of Kedusha?
Yeah,
that is mechanical. You're actually pulling. And the Rosh is more... Why? What about the Rosh is different from the Yad?
On the head.
On the head. That's where the Neshama is, number one. You don't do an act. And not only that, what is the... film Sharosh have that the Shoyad doesn't have?
Shin.
It's a Shin, as the name of Hashem. We'll talk a little bit about whether the Yud counts or doesn't count, but certainly the Shin counts more than the Dalin Yud, because it's actually written. It's like the Tzitz. So the Rav is inching in this direction. You see the two layers? So I'm always trying to fillet the Rav for you. Maybe two or three layers. The first layer of the Rav is there are two levels to fill in, and there's in theory going to be two brachas. Okay, so that make two brachas. Make two brachas like Mila, bam bam. Make two brachas like Hanukkah, bam bam. Make two brachas like bam bam, and then move on. Why do we split the brachas? Why is there a bracha of Lhaniach on the Shel Yad and a bracha of Al Mitzvah on the Shel Rosh, but the Shel Rosh really borrows the Lhaniach Shimon if you don't talk, and therefore if you talk, you have to repeat Lhaniach on the Shel Rosh? Because the Rav is going to tell us, and he's going to prove it to us, that the Shel Rosh, the core of the Shel Rosh, is not the act. The core of the Shel Rosh is the Kedusha, that the tefillin lends. It's the one I'm about to say, A, because it has the Shin, and B, because it's the culmination. But the Shel Yad, since it doesn't really have the name of Hashem on it, that's really the act more. But the Rav needs to prove this, because you don't just say things in brisk land without proving it. He has to prove that the Shel Yad is more mechanical, and the Shel Rosh is more experiential, less mechanical, more spiritual. What's the Rav's proof? Which Rishon highlights the act by the Yad and de-emphasizes the act by the Rosh, leading us to the conclusion that the Yad is the Maisa Kshira and the Shel Rosh is the Kedusha Sagavra. Who is the Rav going to quote, Ari? Tosas is compromised between who and whom?
Ben Eliyahu.
Ben Eliyahu. Ben Tam. Ben Eliyahu says you have to make the knots on both because the Torah is a Ksharten. The Rabbeinu Tam says, we haven't really spoken so much about Rabbeinu Tam. I quoted Rabbeinu Tam's descendant this morning. Rabbeinu Ephraim Zalman Margolis, a base Ephraim. He traced himself to Rabbeinu Tam, to Rashi. When did Rabbeinu Tam live? 12th century. Rabbeinu Tam went through the Crusades. Almost was killed in the Crusade in 1147 on Shavuos. They had a Crusade. They took him out into the field. They put four nails into his body, or four banged him four times with a hammer because they wanted to revenge Jesus. They're about to put a spike through his head and kill him. And then a Jew passed by and redeemed him for a horse or something, and they saved his life. Ben Yaakov Ishtam, the greatest Balatasas. We talked a little bit about him being a feminist. I remember the dowry gets returned. Ben Yaakov Ishtam, one of the greatest. He's on my bucket list. If you tell me what I want to go up to Shemayim, first day. Oh, do I want to meet Rabbeinu Tam? I mean, he knew Torah, he knew Shas. He just revolutionized the way we learn. Tosfos. He led the Tosfos revolution. The Tosfos revolution was you can't just look at one Gemara. You can't just read three lines of a Gemara in Ksuvos because there's a Gemara in Yevamos that's talking about the same issue, even if it's not talking about the same words. And 70% of Tosfos are written that way. V'im Tomar. How could you say what you're saying in Sanhedrin when the Gemara in Chulin is not the exact same Gemara, but if you take the logic from Chulin and you take the logic from Ksuvos, you've got a clash. And that clash is the energy that creates Lamdas. And Tosfos talked in Lamdas Shekod, and now that we're actually learning Lamdas, we know how to read Tosfos, as we'll see in a second. So Rabbeinu Tam says, yeah, but the Torah says v'hayu. So the kshira doesn't mean you have to do a ma'isek kshira. The word ukshartim, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is not describing the act of the mitzvah, it's describing... Give me a good English definition. It's not the act of the mitzvah, you don't have to do a kshira, it's describing the... The chatz of the tefillin. Tefillin needs knots. You have to have knots on the tefillin. Don't just make it with mitzvahs. It's describing the configuration. Chatz, a good English translation. Get back to high school. Your Rebbe asks you for a good English translation of chatz, configuration. The object, the configuration of the object. The way it's configured. The chatz, the lulav, the chatz. That some things are abstract, some things are physical. So Tosfos Rabbeinu Leo said, you always have to make the knot every day. It's a whole different way to put on tefillin, right? Can you imagine coming in every day, making a knot and tying it? That'd be really interesting. Rabbeinu Tam says, you don't have to do either. Two nice shitas. But what's the compromise of Tosfos? The Yad needs a forming of the knot every day. The Rosh doesn't need it. What's the basis of Tosfos' compromise? Where does he get it from when Tosfos is learning? Because the Torah writes about Shal Yad Ukshartam Lios Al Yadecha, but when it describes Shal Rosh, it's V'hayu L'totofos Beninecha. But what's the logic the Rav is telling us? Not just the Lashon HaPasuk, but the Lashon HaPasuk indicates that the Ikra Mitzvah of the Shal Yad is the act. And the Ikra Mitzvah of the Shal Rosh is?
What happens when they are
V'hayu Act. Right. And therefore, the Shal Yad gets a bracha of Leniach, and the Sharosh gets a bracha of Almitzis. And that's how the Rav explained the Rabbeinu Tam. Interestingly, now the Rabbeinu Tam distinguishes, listen to my next line, I hope you'll get it, he distinguishes between Shal Yad and Shal Rosh about the brachas, not about the kshira. If you ask Rabbeinu Tam, do you have to do a kshira? No, neither. So he doesn't take it as extreme as Tosfos and Rabbeinu Leo, even though they're different mitzvahs, one is action, and one is just having it on you, but action doesn't mean you have to actually make a knot. Action doesn't mean you have to tie it, fasten it, you have to remake the knot. The action of the Shal Yad is accomplished not by actually making the knot, but by just tightening it. But if you ask Rabbeinu Tam, what's the Ikra Mitzvah of Shal Yad? The Maaseh. What's the Ikra Mitzvah of Shal Rosh? The experience. What's the Bracha on Shal Yad? L'Aniach. What's the Bracha on Shal Rosh? On Mitzvahs. And also you carry out the Shal Rosh is both, obviously, because you're carrying the extra Bracha. How many Brachas do you make on Shal Rosh? Two. If you don't talk, you carry Shimon, you carry the Laniach from the Shal Yad to the Sharosh. But if you talk, then you got to make them both, because the Sharosh has both. Has both an act and the heightened experience. So you're making two brachas on the Sharosh. So the Shal Yad doesn't really have the experience part of it yet, because you don't have the Shem Hashem on you. So Shal Yad, you make one bracha. That's the difference. 1 second, Shimon.
That's the difference in two pshat, right? According to this pshat, how many brachas does the Shal Rosh have? One. How many brachas does the Shal Yad have? One. But if the Shal Rosh is both the start and the end, then you make two. But in the normal circumstances, you don't carry the Laniach from the Shal Yad to the Shal Rosh, because the Laniach is the beginning, the Almitzis is the end, and that's it. If you're going to double up, start and finish on the Shal Rosh, you make two brachas. But according to the second Shal of Vayner Tam, one mitzvah, two brachas, it's one mitzvah, but two layers. You see the difference? Not one mitzvah, two brachas, start and end. Start and end. But one mitzvah, two layers. Maisa Hanacha, which is both Shal Yad and Shal Rosh, plus Kedushas Adam, which is primarily through Shal Rosh. And therefore, you make the bracha of al mitzvahs. I can't answer your questions, but tell me what you think Tosfos says in brachas. Let's read the one line in Tosfos in brachas. Why do you have two brachas? Now we can read Tosfos, now that we know the lambdas. Look at just three words in Tosfos. He wants to explain Rabbeinu Tam. Lachain, Pirush Rabbeinu Tam, middle of the first page. The Al Shal Rosh, you ready? Shehu Gimar Mitzvah, V'ikar D'eshba Dalet Batin B'shin. Shal Rosh gets the extra bracha because it's the Gimar, but it's also the Ikar. Which pshat was Tosfos saying? This one or this one? Rav felt Tosfos wasn't sure. Tosfos is doing both things. If you don't know the Lambdas, you just breeze by Tosfos. If you know the Lambdas, read it slowly. You know why Shal Rosh gets the bracha of al mitzvos? Shehid gmar mitzvah. It's the end. But it's also the ikar, because it has the shin and the four batim. It's totafos. That's why he gets the extra bracha. So the Rav felt that this one line in Tosfos and brachos was deliberating whether this pshat is right or this pshat is right. Your homework for Sunday is what's the nafka mina between the two pshats?
Sunday.
Sunday. What's the nafka mina between the two pshats? Can you cut on Sunday? Tomorrow I'm away. What's the nafkamina between these two pshats? Hint, hint. Think if you only have shal rosh. Think if you only have shal yad. Or think if you're in the hospital and someone's putting tefillin on you.
Do you deny yourself?
Those are the three nafkaminas. Only shal yad, only shal rosh, and if you're in the hospital. Are you making the al mitzvahs because it's the end? Are you making the al mitzvahs because there's another layer that you reach when you have al mitzvahs? Shimon, I know you're patient, gave him, then I gotta go. Come, I gotta stop because I got the other group. Shimon, what's up?